Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinkham.com Norwich City podcast on this Monday afternoon, the 23rd of January. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm with Chief Norwich City Writer Paddy Davitt and Peter Raven, who's got a new job. Go on, Pete.
Yes, invention and data manager for the whole of Arch, and when I know what that is, I'll let you know.
Brilliant. And in the meantime, he's still got time for the podcast, which I think we have to respect him for, absolutely. Norwich City won 3-1 against Wolves at the weekend, or Paul Lambert's Wolves, as of course they're now called. And Paddy, Norwich's home form, they've won 4 of the last 5 in the league. Should we start being happy about this and you know, optimistic? Have we turned the corner? Has the club, is there a new dawn?
What have they done away from home, mate, in that run? Remind me.
Everyone can listen to the past podcasts to digest that.
That's your answer then. To ask me that after they've been to Cardiff and Wigan in the space of 3 days, we'll know more then. Jury's out.
Can you put it down to why? We got asked that question on the Q&A today, and as I mentioned in my 6 things today, it's the stark bit is, I suppose, that it was actually Norwich at home under the first 6 months of Alec Neil, where if they were going to stumble, that was where they did it. Away from home, they were unbeaten.
Yeah, it's strange. Yeah, it is. It's completely turned around. I just think, I said it, teams like Wolves, teams like Derby, they will come and they won't try and sit in 10 behind the ball. They'll try and play football. And whatever the negative elements of the looking at Norwich squad, their ability to play football isn't one of them. So, you know, if a team's in this division, I think probably with the exception of maybe Newcastle, maybe Brighton, if there's a team want to take them on at football, I'd back Norwich all day long. But sadly, that seems to be the delusion that we were under before a ball was kicked, that they'd be able to just turn up, go anywhere and play football, and through that they would prevail, and through that we'd be back in the Premier League. Quick, smart, rudely found out different. They don't have the capacity to deal with the Barnsleys, with the Rotherhams, and until they find it on a consistent basis, then what you'll get is more of the same, I think. I think they'll pick up points at home, but they won't be good enough to go to, I mean, for example, they've got to go to, off the top of my head, I think they've got to go to Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds. Yeah. Wouldn't fancy up to get any points at either of those grounds, and certainly wouldn't fancy them over a two-legged playoff tie against those clubs. So that's what has to be solved between now and the reckoning, basically. And part of that might lie in what happens in the transfer window and equipping them with the players they need. But at the risk of being accused of negativity, I mean, we're so far into the season now that I don't think how you could reach any other conclusion than they're not going to be quite good enough because they don't have the personnel to play a different style of football.
And they've already made the conscious decision, I would say, to not change the manager, to change any of that dynamic either. So, Pete, let's just take the game in isolation, or as in the football, maybe away from the atmosphere. Happy? I mean, with how Norwich played? I mean, Wolves were poor. Paul Lambert said they've made a slow start, but I would put that down to how Norwich probably played in that first half.
Yeah, first half was a bit sloppy, I mean, but what did Ruddy have to do other than pick the ball out of the net from the penalty? Nothing, really. It wasn't a Paul Lambert team that Norwich fans are used to that they faced. It's Norwich did the job. And I think even before the incident, the goalkeeper sent off, and I know Wolves had just got back into the game, I still saw Norwich going on to win. Wolves just didn't have anything in that final third, and Norwich looked good going forward.
Yeah, Norwich had a flurry. Wolves had a flurry after they equalised, didn't they? And then after Norwich went 2-1 up, and Wolves were down to 10 men, they were kind of Wolves 2 flurries, weren't they? Other than that, it was a bit of a struggle. I mean, they were open like a Paul Lambert side, I thought, and they probably had fits and stuff, but I guess he's got a completely different set of players there that he's got to deal with, and we'll touch on Paul Lambert later maybe. But shall we get through the main incidents, or the really controversial ones, which are in the second half? Stephen Naismith had already given Norwich a first half lead by then. Second half, Matt Doherty pushed over by Ivo Pinto. We all agreed that was a penalty, yes?
Yeah, no, don't see why.
Yeah, a bit naive from Pinto. I don't know why the Norwich players were protesting. I guess they just do it out of habit. But there weren't too many grumbles where I was.
Not all of the players protested, as we said, and it is normally the same players who do protest. They like to have a word. Which, you know, it's fair enough.
Has that ever changed a referee's decision in the history of football?
Well, it's changed in the derby, didn't it, once, when the Linesman, Kevin Lynch, didn't he give a penalty? Yeah, Klaus Thompson?
Changed his mind.
So, yes, Peter, but very, very infrequently. Then we had, so that was what brought Wolves back into the game. Then we had the other incident at the other end. Wes Houlihan, let's call this as I saw it. Wes Houlihan in the box seems to go down before contact's made, yet Karl Hakimi still comes out and clatters him. He doesn't like that because he felt Wes was already going over. So when they all stand up, Hakimi shoves him to the floor. He was sent off for the shove. He conceded the penalty for the foul. And Matt Doherty went in goal because Paul Abbott already made all three substitutions. And he was, of course, the fullback. But Wolves, of course, have since confirmed they are appealing Hakimi's red card. Karl Hakimi was on Twitter, wasn't he, on Sunday, Pat? Even had a brief exchange with your good self about his defending of his own situation. So well, what did you make of it all?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree with any of that, really. I think he was, as much as he was haranguing Houlihan on social media, I think he's probably more frustrated with himself because he's basically fell for it, literally, in the sense that Houlihan's very cleverly coaxed the challenge out of him. And then he's compounded it with his reaction. So why he's took to social media, I have no idea, because I don't really see what that achieves other than probably get a lot of abuse from Norwich fans reading between the lines. So no more to be said. No, why they've appealed, I do not know. Seems to be the current climate, given Butterfield and Derby's appeal, which failed, and this will fail as well. So key moment in the match, lad lost his head, and that's really all there is to be said, because up to that point I think the game was firmly in the balance. Shouldn't have been, because Norwich should have been better than one goal up through their own lack of cutting edge, if you want to call it that, albeit Cameron Jones was very unlucky with that shot, came back off the post. But yeah, no, I mean, it was nice to fall on the right side of one of them for a change, because it feels like most of the season it's been the wrong side of the key incidents. So yeah, let's hope there's a few more of those between now and the end of the season that Norwich get the benefit of.
Yes, absolutely. We have had a lot of red cards, haven't we, in recent games. Norwich were on the back foot when it got back to 1-1, and it did feel like the game was in the balance. They possibly just started creeping back into it before the penalty. I don't know if my memory's failing me there. I thought maybe they obviously had a bit of pressure from the fact they were in the box anyway, so that came about. And of course we had a full-back in goal after for the rest of the game, Pete. But did Norwich really take advantage of that?
It's the thing, is like crowd, every time Norwich play a little shoot, it's like, he is still a footballer. I mean, he's going to have some ability at catching a football and saving it. And so if you're 40 yards out, and every time he got the ball as a pass back, it's like, he can still kick a football. It's not like they've picked someone out of the crowd. I can see
that would be the good bit, basically. That would be the bit he can do.
You think it's like professional football, can probably put it in the top corner from 20 yards out, so why not have a go? But it's... And I guess they were just sort of being professional as well. And maybe that's why Pritchard comes on, because he likes a shot from distance. But it's, yeah, I expect it to be 4 or 5 in the end.
I do recommend watching the Robbie Brady, who scored the penalty, watching his penalty again, because the way that Doherty just sort of falls over to one side is brilliant.
So I'm just going to pretend to dive as much as I can. So, but that's an amp, isn't it? All three subs used about half an hour to go.
More often than not, it comes off, and this time it didn't. If Robbie Brady had missed that penalty, we'd have had a lot to answer for, but we'll get stuck into the transfer stuff in a bit. I did want to touch on the atmosphere, because I've been to Carrow Road a lot in my lifetime, and I know that there's a discussion in general about the atmosphere, but there is no doubt on Saturday, and presumably off the back of the Rotherham defeat, that for the first 55 minutes, I didn't feel like Carrow Road wanted them to win. They were not necessarily cheering for a defeat, but it was literally like, let's have a go at Jez Moxey because Wolves fans have unfailed a banner. I'm not saying whether any of this is good or bad or right or wrong, but just that is how it felt and how it transmitted itself. We only got the first chance for a Norwich player after 38 minutes. Pete, what were you doing? Huh? You're just sitting there in silence?
Yeah, like everyone else. It's people have paid for their season ticket. They're turning up because they've paid for it these days. It's... like you boys know, it's not been fun watching Norwich for a while. It's that's probably the worst or quietest atmosphere I've noticed in what you'd expect from a Norwich win, especially against Wolves, compared to previous games against Wolves. It was dead, wasn't it? Even the cheers for the goals was a bit muted. and people weren't going wild like they have been, it's, but then that reflects, I guess, what's happening or what the most of the fans want, is that they turn out, they want their team to win, but they also, they're not happy with the way things are.
Well, I mean, obviously Pete far better qualified than me to talk about the fans, but doesn't help in my opinion. You know, that coordinated early onslaught in Moxie's direction, I'm not sure how that achieves anything. Do you, I mean, if they're like set, if they're 2-0, 3-0 down on 70th minute mark, a la Huddersfield, then fair enough. But that wasn't frustration. That was obviously premeditated, wasn't it? So, you know, as I say, they pay the money, so they can. They're more than entitled to express an opinion, and it hasn't been great. But ultimately, the board clearly have seemed to make a decision, and that is Alex Neil's in post. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, impact on your chances of your team winning a game, or are you going to support them? You know, and that's not, as I say, that's not a slight on anybody who feels so hacked off with it that they're just almost just going to go there because they've paid for a ticket. But that atmosphere is not conducive to doing anything in a positive slant in terms of positive results. And ultimately, we all want the same thing, and that's Norwich to try and get themselves into the promotion mix and try and get them out of this division. And nobody's saying that everything's rosy in the garden, but that's not helping, full stop.
And I suppose it's remarkable, really, that it has been edgy like that for a few home games now. They keep winning the games
a lot better because the fans want to be there and have paid for it,
yet the performances have been infinitely worse. I mean, it's just a really fascinating, weird, bizarre situation, really, isn't it? Here's a quick easy one for you. Man of the match on Saturday?
Harrison.
Jonathan Housel.
Second man of the match, who would have been closest to him?
Naismith had a good game.
Yeah, really well.
A few games, I think he's improved a lot, hasn't he? But I guess we're seeing what we paid all that money for now.
At a level he probably wouldn't want to be playing, but yeah, I'd agree with that.
Can we have a person first away from man of the match as well?
Go for it.
Tetti.
Alex Tetti. Yeah. So worst player on the pitch is what you're saying, isn't it? Alex Tetti.
Wasn't impressed.
Not quite been at it this year.
That, but his manager seemed to think he did a decent screening job.
He's a passenger.
I saw a few comments that Jacob's a bit of a passenger at the moment, but a bit harsh.
Well, I guess they looked at, he is the main attacking outlet, isn't he, from midfield? But he tends to lose a ball or not now, doesn't he? So, and it's, they're still comparing him with Jacob Murphy the first couple of months when he was on fire. So, but no, I wouldn't say he's a passenger. And who else you can play instead?
I would agree, he's not a passenger. Maybe just needs a break, but you know, Matt Jarvis isn't fit yet. So, right, well, yes, Johnny Houston, clearly outstanding. So good to see him out there doing that sort of stuff as he did. Making one, scoring another, and doing everything else in between, I think. Here is some of Johnny Houston, Alec Neil, and a certain Paul Lambert.
I think our last sort of couple of home games we've played them, we've played pretty well, you know, and I think, obviously, I had real frustrations at Rotherham last week because we didn't start the game well, but the 10 men really hampered us, you know, and then to come out today, obviously it was going to be a big game for a variety of reasons, you know. I think you've got Jez Moxey's old team, you've got Paul Lambert, who obviously was a successful manager at Norwich, and then you've got obviously 3 points at stake, which we desperately needed. So I think when you take all that into account, I thought the players handled it extremely well. I thought we were dominant throughout the game, and I thought we thoroughly deserved our win, and to be honest, probably should have won it easier, because I think the first half probably merited a 2 or 3-0 scoreline.
Johnny Houston, there's a lot that happened in that game. Was it quite surreal to play in at times?
You know, you get games of football where it can be like that. I suppose that's sometimes as neutral as fans, as players, why we enjoy this game, you know, because your emotions can change within, you know, the matter of seconds. And I think, you know, obviously from us at this minute in time, it's pleasing that we've got a win, and I think our focus now has got to be on the next game.
The sending off, it almost came at a good time for you guys, didn't it? Because Wolves had just got back in the game, and it felt like there was a shift in the momentum of things.
Possibly so, yeah. You know, I think, you know, that's a situation where sometimes teams can maybe be affected by that. I think when we'd played ever so well, we'd obviously got the lead and it was fairly comfortable, and to give away a penalty and and be back on level terms. Sometimes it can take the stuffing out of you, if you like. But, you know, we responded well. We managed to push him back and fortunate enough to get a penalty and go on and see the game out from there.
The atmosphere over the course of, say, the first half of the game was pretty patchy. Did you guys feel that? There seemed to be sort of an edginess in the crowd.
I obviously can only comment personally. It's not something that I certainly thought about. And you know, I think as players, your focus has got to be on the game and doing job in hand. So yeah, it's not something that I thought about.
And in the end, you guys won. The place was bouncing, and your record actually at home now, I think that's 4 wins out of 5, and a few clean sheets in there too. So for all your troubles, you're actually kind of doing the business here, aren't you?
Hopefully so, yeah. But you know, we can't play here every week, so you know, I think certainly now, yeah, obviously it's a great performance and good win today, but you know, over the past month or so, we've had the odd good game, and I think the main thing is now we're going to follow it up.
And I mean, you went off at Rotherham with an injury that we weren't sure it might have meant you were out for a while, because you left with a boot on your foot too. To put in a performance like that, you must be delighted, because you seem to cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, very much so. You know, it's obviously, even from a personal point of view, disappointing that you know, it's a similar ankle that he had the operation on him. Just something went right on last Saturday. So yeah, and obviously a lot of thanks goes out to, you know, the medical team and the sports science team to get me right for this game.
Johnny, thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
You would consider an appeal if you think that's right?
Yeah, if I think it's feasible to win, then
yeah,
then we try. And the obviously Anfield next week's a massive game for everybody at the club, and yeah, we have to wait and see.
You kept pushing,
yeah,
even with 10,
yeah,
and a sub outfield player in goal,
yeah,
kept pushing for a bit.
Mike, everybody knows me, I'm not going to sit there and wait. Honestly, I'm not going to sit there. We have a good crowd coming, and I thought this stadium was edgy, you could feel it, and I'd rather have a go than not. The Norwich fans probably know me a lot as well. I'm not going to sit there and wait for something. And we did look still threatening with 10 men, so no, I've no complaints. We started slow first half, which cost a wee bit, but second half when we come back in there, I thought we looked at ourselves.
All the pictures show the goalkeeper pushed Houlihan over with both hands in the chest.
I've not saw it.
Yeah. Well, so, the pictures show that clearly. Both hands pushed him over.
I'll comment on that when I see it. Yeah. So I can't comment on something I've not seen.
You all right? Miss Peter, haven't you, Paul?
Yeah.
You miss Peter.
Miss you, mate.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Pinkin.com podcast. Before we get back to the discussion, think you're the best at fantasy football? Do not wait until the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test, people, and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. Apparently, DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Now, you can go to DraftKings.co.uk/pink now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of $200, which I would imagine is probably worth more in terms of pounds now than when whoever wrote this down wrote it down. So get in there. That is the address, draftkings.co.uk/pink, to play free. Nice for Paul Lambert to get that kind of reception at the end of the game, and that the fans were sort of quiet about him, because they could have sort of stuck the knife in, couldn't they, during the game if they wanted to. They seemed to be in that kind of mood.
They would have done had we gone 2 or 3 down, I think. There would have been chance for him, not out of support of him, just because it's against the club. But I didn't stick around after the game, so I don't know what happened. I think he got an applause, did he, as he went over to the away fans? Yeah.
Oh, we would have been
back here 4 times, so
first time he hasn't won.
Yeah.
Or that's probably why he got applause.
Yes, that's probably also true. Fair point. Norwich are 5 points off the top 6, I think, now, Pad. So we won't get too excited about that just yet. We've got a what is coming up? My man's gone completely bad. Birmingham, that's right, because I'm not working. I'm off for the weekend. So Birmingham at home. Birmingham, who haven't won under Gianfranco Zola as of yet, Paddy, since he took over from Gary Rowett, which of course was the sacking Alec Neil called a disgrace. So how worried are you about a long coming Norwich?
No, there's got to be one time when they book that particular hashtag. So now I'd be more concerned about Mr. Warnock the following week, and then Wigan, who seem to have just turned a little bit in a positive direction. So, to repeat myself, Birmingham should take care of itself because Zola clearly wants them to play football. So if they come here and again try and play football a la Wolves, a la Derby, Norwich have got better players. So that to me is a win. But then they'll go to Cardiff and it'll be get the ball down the channels, test out them centre-backs, test out the keeper, test out central midfield who don't like to go back the way. And if Norwich can't find the answers, then we're back to where we were, which is squad not fit for purpose, poor recruitment.
Which we'll get stuck into in a moment. Neil Warnock, it was brilliant. I think Cardiff were at home to Burton and his post-match interview did for the telly was basically, I told the boys, go out there, ignore the booing, it's not about football, go out there, then come back in with 3 points and get out. And that was literally it. I hope that was his tactical analysis. Literally, 11 players, go out, just win and come back. I don't want to hear anything else. Which would probably be enough to beat Norwich away from home at the moment. Transfer window then, we'll save it till the end. Of course, Martin Olsen is gone. Lots of talk about Robbie Brady. A lot of things seem to be centering around Robbie Brady, but there's probably going to be a bit... It's not going to be like that. There's going to be lots of other things going on. A bit of Sergi Canos as well this morning. Paddy strengthening the link possibly to Brentford. Can I ask you a horribly generic question in how you see all this going at the moment? Like as in the next few days or whatever?
What time is the deadline? 11 o'clock, is it?
Next week, yeah. Next Tuesday.
Tuesday, 11 p.m. 5 to 10, 11, they'll still be, who are we signing? Why are we not signing?
Someone 2 hours after the deadline.
Jordan Rhodes has been spotted in Tesco's car park. It'll be all that. Because that is, it would appear to be in the DNA of Norwich and transfer windows. You know, I don't remember. I'm sure there must, in the mists of time, been a, our business is done for the window earlier than 5 to midnight or whatever it is. There'll be a lot of more speculation, a lot more rumours. But personally, I think it's not going to be a lot of business done, I don't think, just because it's so, so difficult. It's not Norwich per se, it's this window per se. The amount of players who are available, minimal. The amount of players who are available, who everybody wants, quite a lot. Norwich have got the financial dimension. You know, they are now shopping in a vastly different market. They have to generate funds, which is why Brady made a part, if they get their valuation. That's a difficult game in itself. I mean, if you've only got an X amount of days left, how long do you hold out for the figure that you deem to be acceptable? Because you then need to do your business. So, I mean, to give an example, Scott Hogan's been going to West Ham for about 10 days. Deal still hasn't been done. Big money deal. And as a result, Brentford aren't doing any business. And that's not a coincidence. That's because it's links in the chain. And if Norwich are in the same boat, which they are, then it's reaching the point where Brady has to be either kept in-house or they get him out the door. So I think this week something will have to happen.
There's something nice about the summer window because teams get into pre-season and players want to be embedded before the season starts. There's almost a bit of an incentive to get something done early. January, there is none of that incentive. It's literally we'll just wait until the end, which is why it's just a bit of a, you know, just knock it down to 2 days and just get it all done, I'd probably say, and hope for the best. But there we go. Pete, what's acceptable then, Norwich City, in terms of their transfer business this window? They obviously need a left back, don't they? And then if Robbie goes, which have you?
Yeah, you would expect someone to come in place of Olsen, just because there isn't anyone else. And I know Alex Neil likes to think he is, but Robbie Brady isn't a left back. Saw that on Saturday and many other games. I guess if he goes, you want a bit more firepower, maybe a centre back. But for that money, you'll get one or the other.
Yeah, they won't be spending a lot of money no matter what happens, I don't think. All right, well, of course, all the updated speculation, rumours, and fact will all be at pinken.com. Come deadline day, Pat, we're going to be doing all the live blogs and what have you, aren't we?
Can't wait.
And there will also be a Pinken show live over the deadline. So from 10:30 till 11:30. We did that in the summer, of course, and no business got done. And I thoroughly hope the same happens because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Everyone just loves deadline day with a sort of true passion that does mean you hate it as well. Any what?
Sketches lined up to fill the void.
But what we'll do is just stick Jake somewhere and see what he does. He sort of riffs it.
Put him in the centre of Mark Cross, see how he gets on.
I'm sure he'd be fine. I don't know what. No, I don't think it'd be fine. Right, let's wrap this up then, gents. Thank you very much. Thanks all for listening. Don't forget, you can record your own audio booms and send them to us. We didn't have any because Norwich won, I think it's probably what happened this week. But we had some great ones the other week. How do they do it, Pete?
Go on to pinkin.com/podcast, hit the big red button that says record and speak.
Beautiful. So do that. Keep in touch with us. You can subscribe to the podcast as well on iTunes and on Audio Boom. So do that and you'll get the podcast sent straight to you. Until then, gents, thank you. And we'll see you on the other side of Birmingham. Bye.